a bumper and intro there. I assume we're back on the air now. Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards, Bill Rowland here. We have a caller on the line who's been waiting, Bill, for the last hour to get on with this. Anton, are you there? Hello? Yeah, are you there, Anton?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for waiting so patiently. I apologize for not getting with you sooner. If I understand correctly, you are wanting to talk about an issue that we raised in a previous program?
That's correct, guys. The first thing I would like to thank you for you guys just being on the air and maintaining your airtime, and the fact that the radio programs like yourselves are on the air right now, and the fact that you guys can say things that you do, because, you know, other countries, you can't do that.
Well, we're trying to fill the void, and to be fair, I have to give thanks to the great staff that I have here, men like Bill Rowland, and especially the RBN, John Stadtmiller and Michael Powers, and the whole team here that gave us this forum. It's a blessing. I believe it's one that we've worked hard for, and one that I don't get you ever deserve a blessing, but we're happy to be here, and we're happy to have listeners like you. But what can we do for you tonight?
Well, the reason I'm calling tonight, guys, is because of the last week. The guy called in, and I agree with what he was saying. The person called in said that he's concerned regarding the European heritage as being destroyed, which I agree with a lot of Muslim people coming in into the Europe, which is completely understandable. Same with America. The reason I'm calling, guys, is to basically say, look, there's a reason for these things are happening. There's a reason why our borders are open, the United States. Same with Europe, because the same people control these type of issues, and the same people basically say, look, you can come here and get free welfare and come here and so forth. So it's not necessarily just like the Muslims' fault that they're coming over here. It's because the same people over here controlling our open border policy. As London UK Guardian reported, the second name in London now is Mohammed.
That's right.
John,
in fact,
or something
number
else.
One, I believe it's
right,
number
exactly.
One now.
But you can't just blame these people for coming there. It's the same people who control this area. Same here. Look what's happening in their homes up there. They're getting destroyed. And for what? For that little country that you and I love so much. Up there, same with our leaders. They control this area, and they want to make sure that area is destabilized. So
right. Well, you have to be talking about Zionist Jews, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we can say it. You can say it on this. You can say it on this show. Now we know what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. I mean, certainly, I think sometimes I try to put this into medical terms, or going after the symptom rather than the root of the problem. But no, you're right. And there is a disproportionate amount of hell. Even Pat Buchanan said it. Capitol Hill is Israeli occupied territory. There's just no doubt about it. It's an incontrovertible fact that there is a small cabal of radical Zionists who have control over some of the biggest arteries that are pumping in the lifeblood into the American heartland. And unfortunately, a lot of these entities, if you want to call them that, the media, certainly the government, banking, they're all being used against the founding stock of this nation and to, I guess, perpetuate or to protect or endow, you know, the sandbox of Israel. So, no, I agree with you, and there's no doubt that that's going on. And certainly, over the course of the past 4 years, we have talked about that to the extent that we can. You know, certainly we don't want to be a one-trick pony and talk about it exclusively every show. But, no, you're exactly right. I think, well, certainly I will say I agree with you in that you're onto something there, and that is something that we try to bring up as much as possible. But thank you for reminding us about that, and we are going to talk about that, coincidentally, with our guest coming up later this hour, Mark Green. He wrote the book, Reconsidering the Zionist Role in American Life. So thanks for the call from Pennsylvania, and
all right, guys,
we'll be back.
Take it easy and have a good night.
Thank you, buddy. We got to go to break. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the economy. Don't go anywhere. James Edwards and Bill Rowland with you as the political festival rolls on.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law of the life.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
And now, let's return to the political cesspool.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards, Bill Rowland here with you. I want to bring up a quick story before we segue over into the economy. We were talking earlier about some of the tactics Barack Obama is using. Our last caller in the short segment was bringing up the detrimental effects that Zionism is playing in our lives and in our government and media. This is another tactic, though, Bill. This one being employed by a Jewish group, which has started a campaign. This is the group I'm specifically referring to is the Jewish Council of Education and Research, and they are convincing young Jews to fly to Florida in order to persuade their grandparents to vote for Barack Obama. Here is the scoop directly from the horse's mouth. Jews are told to make Florida grandparents vote for Obama. They are being urged and in some cases being paid to fly to Florida to persuade their grandparents to vote that way. This is being put on, as I said, Bill, by the Jewish Council of Education and Research. It is voiced, or the spokesman for this is the vulgar Jewish comedian Sarah Silverman, who has a foul-mouthed reputation sort of along the lines of Sandra Bernhardt. And she says in the commercial promoting this initiative, you don't have to use facts, use threats. There's nobody more important or influential over grandparents than their grandkids. If they vote for Barack Obama, tell them you're going to visit them this year. And if they don't, let's just say we hope they'll stay healthy until next year. And despite the lighthearted tone, the appeal is deadly serious. So that's interesting, Bill, just something to tie into what we were talking about earlier, this one from the Jewish side of the Obama support spectrum. And we're going to be talking more about Zionism with Mark Green in just a moment. That being said, Bill, let's talk about the economy for a minute. We talked last week, we figured out, or we didn't figure it out, I mean, we just pointed to common sense, and common sense dictated that the reason that the government needs to bail out these banks to the tune of $1 trillion is that for far too long, they took they employed affirmative action lending techniques, and they gave loans and lots of them to minorities, specifically poor blacks and illegal aliens, even who couldn't pay back the loan. But of course, if they didn't give them the loan, they were racist. Well, hell, even if they did, they were predatory lenders. I guess it was a lose-lose situation. But nevertheless, this is why all of these banks needed bailing out. Long story short, they made silly loans in order to appease the false gods of political correctness. Now, Bill, last week, or earlier this week, I should say, 95% of the American people were against this bailout, a bailout which totaled, I believe, about $700 billion, and it failed remarkably. A couple of days later, the government adds another $150 billion to it. 95% of the public still against it, and it passes. Can you make sense of that for me?
One of our guests on earlier mentioned or talked about and reported that Obama supporters were bringing were picking up homeless people on the streets and taking them and registering to vote and getting them absentee ballots. Well, the Republicans are now picking up Wall Street bankers and taking them to the polls, and they're sitting around the streets. But what's happened is this $700 billion bailout. You'll notice that this crisis came very quickly, and there was already a number in place, $700 billion. Where did that number come from? Why $700 billion? And this is really sort of junk bond trading that's going on here, and that is putting up the value of something based on pure speculation, and that's what happened. This is speculation sort of bailout. That is, well, we know that we can get by with $700 billion, but, maybe we'll have to take less. Well, of course, the Congress caved in on this completely, out of a panic that was created, of course, by the very financial people who created the need for $700 billion. And ultimately, this is only an installment. This is only an amount of money that will be used up very quickly, basically to keep the same institutions going that created the problem in the first place. You know, who is going to get the checks for this out of this $700 billion? Who's going to get the money? The very institution.
Well, who's paying for it, and that's me, and that's you, and that's
exactly
our listeners.
But the checks are going to be written to who? You know, are they going to the government? They're not going to us. Well, you got to trace the money, follow the money. It's going to go right back to the people who created the problem in the first place. And ultimately, one of the things that really went unnoticed throughout all of our crisis, while everyone was going through all the hair pulling and sweating over this issue, particularly in Congress, was the fact that there was a similar bank panic in Germany and in England. And as a matter of fact, in England, depositors were withdrawing money out of the English banks and depositing their money in Irish banks because the Irish were guaranteeing their deposits. Unlike in the United States, there is no Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to protect the money in American banks. In England, if a bank folds, you lose your money. That's it. There's no money you've lost your money. And so the Irish banks were guaranteeing the deposits of any English depositors, and there was a huge tidal wave of money going from England into these Irish banks. So this was an international problem with the banks and the credit and the money. And ultimately, what's going to happen with this transfer of funds is that this is a sort of reevaluation of the American dollar is what's going on, and the money is simply a token for what's happening with our currency. It's really an expression of how bad off our currency has become, And so, you know, again, there's going to be a sort of an international, I guess you'd say, an international dialogue on what currency is and what sort of money and what is the value of the dollar and whether the dollar should still be used as the measure of value of a barrel of oil and this kind of thing. But what we're heading for is an international currency. And I have a little bit of inside information on this. About 3 months ago, I know a man whose wife works in a bank, and I can tell you that right now the banks are preparing ATM cards and debit cards to automatically convert any currency. That is, if you're in England and you use your ATM card, the bank in America will automatically convert that whatever withdrawal you're trying to make into pounds. Now, why would they do this? Because obviously there's a move afoot to create some sort of international credit or use of currency and credit between banks so that you won't even need money. And money will merely be you know, sort of an artifact of our old way of doing business. And so, you know, what's going on here is sort of a reevaluation of American value and American currency and American worth in order to roll this into a more international system. And so you're going to see more and more foreign banks coming into play here with regards to our debt and the and this so-called bailout or rescue plan. And there was so much disinformation put out about this bailout, particularly by the media. One, I heard the someone from the Pew Institute talking on public radio today, and he was saying how the numbers really weren't as great. The people who were, you know, writing their senators and writing their congressmen protesting this bailout were really disgruntled people who do this a lot. And they were really only a small number, but they're very vocal and very militant, you know. And that's who was really doing this. But actually, 50% of the people really approved of it. If you really got underneath all of those bad letters and all of those mean people, there's really a lot of support for this thing. Well, this is the kind of disinformation that's coming out of groups like the Pew and other think tanks.
Yeah, because exactly, Bill, and this was something I wanted to chime in on. And by the way, thank you for that excellent commentary with regards to the bailout, because but this gets to a point I do know something about, and I do believe that this is all by design. It's a precursor to the world currency that they inevitably want for us or for them. But you're right. I was watching CNN and Fox all week following this, and needless to say, Fox and CNN are not known for giving you the truth as we do it here on RBN and on the Political Cesspool. But nevertheless, they have no reason to lie about the amount of feedback they were receiving on this. And I know that I heard both networks were saying over 90% of the emails received on this issue were absolutely, and in most cases, most demonstratively against the bailout package. I know Shepard Smith specifically at Fox News said that he received 1,100 consecutive emails, all from different people, mind you, against the bailout. So my question is the fact that it passed a testament to the arrogance of the Senate and the House, or is it a testament to the idiocy of the American people? Because those senators and those representatives know that no matter what they want, even if it is 95% in opposition, they can pass it because we're too stupid to vote out the incumbents. And Bill, you got 45 seconds.
Very quickly, over a year ago, the chairman of monetary policy for the Council on Foreign Relations commented, his name is Steele, by the way, and you can look this up on their website. I think it's Benjamin Steele was his name, but his last name is Steele. He commented even over a year ago that the world was seeking for a standard currency based on gold and silver. And so, you know, that's where we're headed. Gold and silver won't be put out tangibly, gold and silver, but the value of currency is going to be based on that and whatever reserves are created by the international banks. But you're going to see more and more foreign banks come into play on our banking crisis, and the attempt is being made now to get Chinese money and Russian money involved.
We'll pick this up on the other side and conclude our commentary on the bailout.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Thank you. Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
One,
the preservation of capital.
Two,
consistent profitability. And
three,
the pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the Body and Environment Safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic-grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyounglivingessentialoils.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
There you go.
You've heard the commercials on Life Change Tea, the all-natural, clean-your-system-and-lose-weight product. Well, maybe you don't believe. Maybe you doubt. For those who don't believe, we will give you a money-back guarantee. That's right, a 45-day money-back guarantee. Some restrictions apply. That's right, if you don't feel better and lose weight, you can get your money back. So what are you waiting for? Call now. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can go to LifeChangeTea.com. Read up on us. You have nothing to lose but wait.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host at the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, where you can read my blog, and there's a whole bunch of interactive fun features there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And also, in one of the blogs, you can get links that we have provided for you that gives you all the information, contact information, and other research information pertaining to our guests that we have each evening. So everything you could want about our show and even our guests available at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Bill, we were talking about the bailout of Wall Street a moment ago. It passed despite 90%+ of Americans being vehemently in opposition to it. Any final thoughts on that? Because I know we had to go to a hard break there, and you were still talking about it, and very eloquently so. I want to give you the opportunity to finish that up before we go to our next guest.
Well, very simply put, that the idea of buying bad debt is a fool's market. And the fact is that the government simply paid the thieves off for robbing the American people and using American taxpayer dollars to do it. So there's no good end to this. And ultimately, the American economy is simply going to be put under is going to operate under a world system. And, you know, our economy is going to be subverted by the bigger, other economies of the world. And everything is going to be leveled, in a sense. And so we're no longer going to have an independent economy, and we're going to be told that we're just too reliant on the world market to avoid having a common currency now. And we may keep the American dollar, but the value of the dollar will be based strictly on what's going on with foreign currencies, and you know, it'll be adjusted up and down, and all business will be done, you know, as far as economics are concerned, through debit cards and credit cards, and you know, we'll be told it's actually cheaper that way. And as I say, American money will simply become symbolic; it won't even be real.
Another thing to look forward to, Bill. This has been a very encouraging show, I think. But you know, we're not in the business to make people feel good about things, and in fact, we're not in business at all. We do all of this as volunteers because we love our people. And we love this country, and we want what's best for it, even if what's best is facing some hard truths and trying collectively to put our minds together to come up with solutions. And that's what we do on this show. We try to bring you the truth as we see it, and it might not always be pleasant, but at the same time, we're not here to entertain you. We're here to inform you. Bill, one more thing. I think enough said about the economy. I think the handwriting is on the wall, and it's going to be very hard to get that turned around. Not to say that it's impossible, because we still have enough folks here who fundamentally believe in the tenets of this mission statement for this program. But getting them together and getting them on the same page with regards to an action plan is a whole different animal. Hopefully it can happen. That's what we're here for. But hope springs eternal, as they say, but it doesn't look good right now. And it doesn't look good in California either with regards to another issue, just to prove that we cover everything in the political system when we talk about all the issues confronting our people. This story should make the people at PayPal very happy, as hopes seem to be fading for the sodomite marriage ban in California. Barring some miraculous turnaround, ladies and gentlemen, it looks more and more likely that the proposed amendment to the California Constitution to outlaw sodomite marriage is going to go down to defeat, just as I predicted months ago on my blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Here's the story out of Los Angeles. Very quickly, backers of a referendum to ban what they call same-sex marriage in California are winning the fundraising race. That would be our side is winning the fundraising race, believe it or not. But polls suggest that voter sentiment appears to be turning against us. According to a field poll released September 18th, 38% of likely voters backed the initiative, which would be to keep marriage between a man and a woman, while 55% opposed it. Bill, your thoughts?
I don't know that those polls are necessarily accurate. I don't think we can trust polls as far as issues like that. I can remember back when the Confederate flag issue was boiling over in the South, and one poll after another came out that clearly demonstrated most people in the South supported the display of Confederate symbols, Confederate flags, etc. And this went on for years. And finally, various polling companies and polling operations began to distort the questions and until they got the results they wanted. So I would question first who conducted the poll, and among who was, you know, who answered in the poll.
Now, I never Americans put a lot of stock in the polls either, but and
I agree
mean,
with I think
you
Americans
there.
Become
I agree with you
cynical.
On most things, but California is different than the South, and I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see it go down.
Well, that's what they said about the proposition in California that has to do with illegal aliens, and the proposition
that was quite some time ago.
Taxes. And these all passed, even though the polls were against them. You know, I can't remember the number of the proposition, but a proposition in California that banned affirmative action programs passed. And,
well, and of course, now just now that too. Now Michigan is a very diverse state. Let's just use the politically correct terminology. Very diverse state, and even it just a couple of years ago, Michigan passed basically a referendum that banned affirmative action, so to speak. So, yeah, I see. You know, there's some hope out there. We'll see. I guess on election night, we'll see what happens in California. But right now, they're saying it's not good looking. We got to go to break, Jim. We'll go to break, give you something to think about. We'll be back. We'll give you more to think about when the political cesspool concludes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com. And find out what two dangers you really do face today, and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus 7 other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient 1-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
And now, let's return to the political cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Okay, thank you, Art. Bill, just to pick up and to conclude something we were talking about just before the break, if you had to make a prediction with regards to what's going to go on in California, how do you think it's going to pan out?
Well, I think the vote's going to be a lot closer. I think that a lot of people in California have become poll savvy. And very often they answer polls differently than they actually vote. So, you know, I think that they've gotten wise to how pollsters work the system out there, much wiser than a lot of people in the rest of the country who, you know, don't understand that the polls are being used to manipulate their opinions and to manipulate the outcome of elections and the outcome of certain, events. But, nevertheless, let's face it, there's a very strong homosexual presence in California. Homosexuals have been migrating to California for years because they perceive California as being very open and very tolerant and so forth. But, there are factors there that mitigate against homosexual marriage being approved, and I think those things are being overlooked. You never know who the pollsters are asking when they call up and conduct polls. You don't know who answers the phone. You don't know who agrees to take the polls or why. So you know, a lot of people, if I got a poll saying, well, we want to poll you on the gay marriage issue, I would imagine many people would just hang up at that point. They're not going to answer any questions about that. So it's difficult to say, but I think the vote at least is going to be closer, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it pass, just as the affirmative action bill in proposition in Michigan passed when the pollster said that it was going to go down in defeat and that 57 or 58% of the people were against it. That proved to be wrong, and in fact they voted in just reverse proportions. Over 60%, 50, almost
right.
60% of the people voted for the proposition ending affirmative action policies in hiring and college admissions in Michigan. So
right,
I think it's got a better chance than they believe.
Just some food for thought for everybody to chew on as we head into our third and final guest of the evening, who, if I understand correctly, is on the line now. Very proud to welcome to our program Mr. Mark Green, who is a former television host and editor of the book Persecution, Privilege, and Power, Reconsidering the Zionist Role in American Life. Mr. Green, it's a pleasure and a privilege. Thanks for coming on the show this evening.
Glad to be here.
All right, sir. Let me just cut to the chase. We only have a few minutes left, and we want to make we want to be most advantageous of the time we have with you. Why did you decide to put together this book?
Well, there's so much outstanding commentary about the extraordinary dilemma that we Americans face in regards to the Israel question and the again the unique role played by American Jews in our political system and our cultural way of life in general. Yet so little of it really reaches the mainstream media. So as a person that has had a burning interest in this question for many years and reads a lot each and every day on the subject, I just come across so many extraordinarily insightful articles, generally just on the Internet over the past 10 or 15 years, dealing with this subject, and it's such a multifaceted one, that I decided that some of these fabulous and classic articles should be elevated into book form, so people can give it to others and have a collection of some of the most insightful material on what I would have to call the Zionist/Jewish question in American life.
There's so many ways you could pursue this line of questioning. It's so fascinating, and unfortunately, it's so taboo. I couldn't imagine how it could be considered anti-Semitic for concerned American citizens to compare and contrast the benefits and detriments of having disproportionate amount of Zionist control of this country's institutions, but certainly it is, and to even question it or to suggest that they might have too much power makes you some sort of a racist or a neo-Nazi. And that brings me to the million-dollar question. I guess we'll just talk in generalities about this issue tonight because, as I said, it's just so in-depth and there's so many places you can go to it. We just don't have the time. But in your estimation, Mr. Green, and obviously you're an expert on this issue, and in fact, how big is the Israeli lobby, and who's afraid of it?
Well, as Ray McGovern, one of the contributors, and I have 30 different contributors to this book. We just wrote one different article. It covers a lot of ground. The great thing is you can just pick it up anywhere, and it's all different examinations by different people on issues that relate to the taboo question of, you know, Jewish influence, Jewish power, Jewish deception. And by the way, 20% of the contributors are themselves Jewish, so this is no,
right.
Supremacist tract here at all. About a quarter of the people are PhDs. I mean, this is a very thoughtful collection of articles. But having said that, I would just say that we're just trying to expose the almost incalculable machinations that involve advancing, in a way, ethnic interests, Jewish interests, and the taboos that keep Americans from aggressively looking at this in a critical sense, you know. So I think it's, again, it's an extraordinarily complex and deep issue, but it's time for people to start looking at this frankly, and I think this book does a good job of breaking that ice.
Well, we know why you wrote the book. You've already answered that, but because you wanted to address a very serious issue that obviously isn't being talked about enough. But did you have any life experience? You know, obviously, to make that jump into such a taboo realm, so to speak, takes a little bit of courage, to say the least. Did you have any specific life experiences that helped shape your view? Did your television show, in fact, help you lead to plunging in with this book?
Well, I have to admit, one of the reasons I started this TV program was I was so disappointed with the way the mainstream media handles
questions that concern Jewish power and the conflict of interest that so many Jewish producers and Jewish entertainers and writers and intellectuals have when they talk about things like U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East or what happened in World War II or religious myths that push America along in this rather obsequious relationship with the Jewish state of Israel that it was just time for, it's been burning. I mean, in fact, in 1986, I produced a TV program for PBS called Why Terrorism? Why Terrorism? That was 1986. So I've seen this coming for a long time, and it's because American support for the state of Israel is basically unconditional. We have unconditional support for the state of Israel, and that's power. That's and when power is that absolute, it's corrupting, and that's why I think America's involved in this pattern of serial warfare in the Middle East.
Very good answer. And with regards to the Middle East, and I'll let this be my final question for a moment, and I'll give an opportunity to my co-host Bill Rowland to ask a question or two of you. You mentioned the Middle East. Now, obviously, if you believe our president, if you believe our media, Ahmadinejad is the new Satan, and just about everybody over there, except for Israel, of course, is a terrorist state. But how big, in your estimation, Mr. Green, of a threat is terrorism in America?
Well, I mean, it's so funny because I just read this great article by Paul Craig Roberts, who unfortunately is not in my book, but he was talking about how Americans, how kind of not even all of our Americans, we're all conditioned to think that this infinitesimal little country, this tiny country that hasn't launched a war on anybody basically in hundreds of years, namely Iran, is with no army, no air forces, is a threat to the United States. In the meantime, we have an ongoing invasion from our southern border that's been in progress for 20 years, and yet we can't even talk about that. So there's all these illusions, there's so much smoke and mirrors out there that the American mind basically, I think the average American is just in a stupor because they rely too heavily on the junk that comes to them via television and, mainstream news. So basically the political process is just more of the same, regrettably.
I like where you're going with that, and that's a very good point. You know, is terrorism really a greater threat than our unguarded borders? And certainly the answer, in my opinion, is no. Bill?
Who is the most powerful Zionist in the United States and why?
Well, I don't really look at an individual Zionist because the extraordinary abilities of organized Jewry is their organizations and their cohesion and their networking. So I don't like to identify one individual person. Obviously, Mir Sherman Walt wrote an excellent book on the Israel lobby, but they talk about groups, institutions like AIPAC and the Conference of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. But there are a lot of organizations which are just sort of a crypto-Jewish push to them, like the Southern Poverty Law Center or the American Civil Liberties Union. So the role of Jews in a lot of different government institutions or NGOs is often very hard to trace, but even though when there aren't fingerprints there, we can feel their presence. And it's an extraordinarily effective role that they play in achieving their political and cultural ends. And all I can say is it needs to be looked at vigorously and critically.
Mr. Green, you know, you can't hardly talk about the Zionist question without getting into their a discussion of their first cousin, which is the neoconservative movement, which is basically a spawn of the Trotskyite line of thinking. Was the neoconservatives' perceived anti-communism stand outright fraudulent?
Well, as you know, we have one article in the book called the I think it was the fraud of anti-communist neoconservatism, something along those lines. I think, in a way, a lot of these ideologies have been, in fact, Kevin McDonald does an extraordinary job of unmasking a lot of the intellectual movements of the 20th century. As being basically, a lot of them were covers for advancing Jewish interests, and I think he does a very convincing job of revealing certainly their Jewish pedigree. And when we measure the impact that a lot of these intellectual movements have had. I talk about Marxism and Freudianism and the Frankfurt School of Social Research and
right.
Even the unique role that Jews played in changing our immigration policies and advancing multiculturalism up until this day. It's had not only has these various intellectual or political movements had an enormous impact, but at the same time, they have indeed advanced Jewish interests, and a lot of their leading progenitors were, in fact, Jewish. So I must say, Kevin McDonald is one of the stars of the book, but he's not the only one. But indeed, I think a very strong case could be made, though, if we can talk about it openly, unfortunately, few people do, that indeed there's a pattern of deception that emerges from this this ethnic lobby, as I would call them, that I think has had a profound and perhaps injurious impact on our culture in general.
You have set perfectly for my next question, which is perhaps the most important of the entire interview. But before I ask you the question, I want to make mention of a fact that you have referred to two very good friends of ours, Kevin McDonald and Paul Craig Roberts. They have both been on this program a handful of times, respectively, and I've had the opportunity to break bread with Dr. McDonald. Both of these men, great men doing great work, talking about these very sensitive issues in a very mainstream and academic way. I occasionally go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's website just so I can keep up with what all my friends are up to, and I saw that the Academic Senate at California State University have put even more sanctions on Dr. McDonald this week. It's just a continuing farce out there. And this begs the question to be asked, Mr. Green, how do we go about talking about these issues? I mean, people are getting fired, people are getting punished. You know, at the very least, you get called, you know, names that would make you a pariah in polite circles. How do we infuse this commentary into mainstream conversation again?
Well, I mean, we have to reject or at least laugh at the reckless charge of anti-Semitism. First of all, there is no such thing really as anti-Semitism, not in the real sense. Now, you can like or dislike Jews, but let's be honest. Why do they start, when they're talking about Jews, it's all about Jews, with anti-Semitism? It has nothing to do with their Semiteness. In fact, most Jews are, as opposed to, let's say, Arabs, many of them are very European-looking, so it's their behavior, it's their chauvinistic attitudes, which rub a lot of people the wrong way, and it rubs me the wrong way. So anti-Semitism, the very term is a lie. It's a bogus lie. So I reject the very claim. Now, if somebody says I'm being too critical on the Jews, well, let's start talking about that. So what people have to do is do your homework, do your reading, and measure the impact that organized Jewish groups or crypto-Jewish groups have had on American culture. It's profound. I think it's disastrous. Look at these wars. I mean, we destroyed Iraq needlessly, and I think that it's well known that AIPAC was deeply involved, and other Jewish lobbying groups are deeply involved in pushing America into that war, and they've long directed a U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, and again, they've developed a nuclear arsenal themselves, yet we're supposed to get all concerned because Iran maybe wants to have nuclear power. These double standards are really a disgrace to our country, and I just think if people equip themselves with enough information, they're ready to go for it, as I am. So all I can say is keep reading and keep talking.
Well, you're providing a great example, Mr. Green, both in your ability to articulate this message and also write about it, that you're covering both forms of learning, be it hearing or reading. But you're right, and we can't allow, as Bill, as you've said, we can't allow these shut-up words such as racist and anti-Semite to keep us from articulating our genuine and heartfelt concerns. But Bill, we only have 2 minutes left before our next break, and we've got to let our guests go. But any final thoughts, any final questions for Mr. Mark Green?
Mr. Green mentioned something interesting. He was talking about how Jews are actually more European-looking than they are Arabic or Semitic looking, but isn't it true that actually they're more European culturally as well as physically in appearance, and their influences are more European, and yet they have essentially settled themselves in the very heart of Arabic and Semitic culture. You know, at what point does Zionism accept these realities that the very placement of Israel, in a sense, puts them in an adversarial position with everyone who lives there?
And Mr. Green, we have 60 seconds before break, right. So you can answer that, and then we'll keep you on.
Yeah, I'd like to look at that. Well, you know, the Holocaust plays such a pivotal role in justifying the extraordinary and special rules, if I may use the term, that Israel gets to play by, and American Jewry gets to play by, namely, because they're extraordinarily tragic history. That's what they're telling us. And frankly, I take issue with that because the Jews are, at least in the United States, they have a very privileged existence. Now, we know that European Jewry during the Hitler years suffered greatly, although I'm not a Holocaust denier, but I really suspect that a lot of the Holocaust lore has perhaps been embellished a bit. Certainly, in fact, if you read my book here, the organized Jewry declared war on Nazi Germany in 1933. So they exacerbated the tensions that were existing when Hitler first came to power and tried to cripple that country. Not to
Mr. Painter, hold on, don't mean to interrupt you.
It's much more complicated than people think, and all I can say is just do your homework. There's so much information out there that gives lie to a lot of the conventional wisdom.
Set tight, Mr. Green. We're going to hold you on through the break just so you can plug your website. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to wrap up right after this.
Right after these messages.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take Discardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Wrapping up the show tonight, I want to again thank all of our guests this evening, Ashley Russell, Anthony Gregory, and especially Mark Green, who, in my opinion, has delivered the absolute highlight of tonight's broadcast with his commentary and answers to very important questions. Mark, thank you not only for coming on the show tonight and taking time out of your evening to be with us, but for your service
in cause of the truth. And I want to give you just a quick moment before we run out of time tonight to plug your website, let folks know where they can read more from Mark Green and how they can get a hold of your book.
Right. Well, James, thanks so much. And the book's available through Amazon and online, of course, because regrettably you can't sell books like this in a normal bookstore, regrettably. You sell the usual junk or uninteresting mainstream stuff. But anyway, go to my website, just Persecution, Privilege, and Power. .com. They're going to have to buy the book, but I've got a lot of classic TV interviews I've done with some interesting and, bold people. And, of course, you can find out more about the book there. But Persecution, Privilege, and Power is a good place to check out because we do have a lot of free information there. And if you're inspired, buy the book because it's 30 different essays by 30 different people, all on different permutations involving the question of Zionism. And by the way,
a great Zionism compilation on
Jewish
a Bible.
There are a lot of, let me finish up, James, what you're saying. There are a lot of
sure.
Christian Zionists, too, so it's not strictly a Jewish thing, but the Jews are basically the orchestrators, but there are a lot of, regrettably, there are a lot of Christians that are a little bit nutty on the subject, too, and they
believe.
Yeah.
I go to church with them. Tell me anything. But, again, ladies and gentlemen, the book is Persecution, Privilege, and Power, Reconsidering the Zionist Role in American Life. Mark Green, its editor. Again, Mark, thanks for being with us. We got to have you back. You were outstanding.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Bill, another show, another night, another victory for the political cesspool, and I was really impressed with that last guest.
Oh, great guest tonight. Very, very good guest. Very well informed and very entertaining, you know, as far as telling us, setting things straight on the government and on Zionism and on what's going on college campuses as well. So we sort of covered a full spectrum of American life tonight.
You know, we did, and that's what we do here. And, you know, you don't know who you're going to get when you tune into this program. You might be getting a Paul Frank Roberts or Kevin McDonald. They make frequent appearances, but we also enjoy just as much bringing you people that you haven't heard so much about but are doing equally important work and are equally important to the solutions that we're all striving to find. And Bill, we only have 45 seconds left. I want to thank you again, my friend, for all your work for this program. I couldn't do it without you. We wouldn't be here without you. And for all you out there, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to check out our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. If you appreciate our program, please consider mailing in a donation. You can find information on how to do that by going to our donation link. You just won't be able to donate over PayPal because they don't like us anymore. And you probably don't have to wonder why. But again, for Bill Rowland, Garaba Hoosier, for booking all these great guests, Art Frith, our producer, the entire team here at RBN, and our whole hosting staff and production crew at The Political Cesspool, I'm your host, James Edwards. We'll see you next week, every Saturday, as a matter of fact, from 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time at thepoliticalcesspool.org and republicbroadcasting.org. Good night, everybody. God bless you and keep you, and remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apologies. We'll see you next week.
Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Same old thing.